So, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Northern Nerdcast. Clayton is late to the party as usual, so I've got Adam right now. Clayton will be on in a little bit, and my inner 12-year-old is like screaming right now. But we've got the star of such wholesome family fun video games as Duke Nukem, Rad Rogers, and Sonic Adventure. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only John St. John. Thank you so much for coming on the show. They're so wholesome. You have to.
I can't believe you left out the postal dude. Well, the postal dude.
Yeah. You know what? That's actually
the worst of them all.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've never actually played any of the postals. Maybe I'm missing out, but.
Oh, gosh. I don't remember how many times I've been able to urinate on somebody outside of a game like Postal 2.
There is a lot of pissing on people, isn't there?
Incredible amount.
If 12-year-old boys could develop a game, this would be the game that they develop. And Mike Schachter will tell you that's exactly right. He's a 12-year-old. He acts like a 12-year-old. Yeah, I just got a care package from the guys at Running With Scissors yesterday. They sent me the game. The janky early coming edition, something like that, spelled the way you think, and a whole bunch of tchotchkes and stuff, including a bunch of stickers and things, which are very cool. I don't have them close by that I can share with you, but thanks to the guys at Running With Scissors for sharing stuff with me.
Very cool.
They're good people.
So let's.
They're perbs.
Let's dive right into it, and we'll talk probably. That your biggest role is as Duke Nukem. So I had read somewhere, and I for the life of me cannot remember the first two Duke Nukems, the side-scrolling ones, having a voice in the game, but apparently you did the voices for that. So
no, I was not involved in Duke Nukem 1 or 2.
Duke Nukem
2 had one line, and it was "I'm back," and that was done by Joe Siegler. So okay. He was actually the first voice of Duke Nukem. Joe Siegler was.
And then you took over the role. So like you had to audition for it, or did id Software say like, we know exactly who we need? Like, did you know what the role was that you were auditioning for? Or like you said, off the recording, you don't get told anything until the game's pretty much mm-hmm. made, and then they get you to voice.
No, they didn't realize that kind of stuff until about 2000. And this is back in 1995. So game developers didn't know what kind of shit they were going to have to put up with from people like me until like 2000. But the way it worked was George Broussard, one of the creators of Duke Nukem, who was with 3D Realms based out of Garland, Texas, reached out to a casting director who was very busy at the time, Lonnie Manella. And just by coincidence, luckily for me, because a lot of getting roles like this is luck, not talent necessarily, but luck, being in the right place at the right time. Lonnie lives here in San Diego, where I live. And at the time, I was the production director for a group of radio stations in San Diego, you know, the guy who makes all the commercials. And so Lonnie, also being a voice actor, was scheduled to come in and record an ad for I believe it was a Mazda dealership here in San Diego. so this is one day in early 1995. She shows up in my studio, and she has already begun talks with developers about casting voices in games. At this point, there had been no voice acting in video games. There were single lines like Joe Siegler did, "I'm back," right, for Duke Nukem 2. But when we met in my studio that day, I turned on my microphone and started doing a bunch of wacky voices because that's what she was doing to warm up her voice. And she turned and looked at me and said, "Wow, you have really great range. Have you ever considered voice acting in video games?" And I kind of tilted my head like a dog, like, "What? Voice acting in video games? It's 1995. I've never heard of such a thing. I didn't know there were going to be voice actors in video games." She said, "Yeah, and there's a game that you might be just right for that's coming up called Duke Nukem." And I laughed like anybody does the first time you hear Duke Nukem. I mean, now it's so common that it, you don't think it. But back then I laughed and I said, "Sure, I'm up for anything." So a few days later, it was like a Saturday afternoon, she came down to the radio station and met me, and we got on the phone patch with George Broussard from Texas. And George is listening to me, down the phone line. And the very first directive I was given was when he created Duke Nukem, his thought was of a badass with an attitude. And George's first thought was Charles Bronson. Do you remember Charles Bronson?
Yeah.
And he might have been a badass. I think that movie, The Mechanic, he was in. Anyway, Charles Bronson did play a badass, but his voice was kind of, I'm Charles Bronson. I'll rip your head off and shit down your neck. Yeah, no, that doesn't sound right. And George said, yeah, no, okay, well, the attitude, but not the voice. It's not the Charles Bronson voice. And Lonnie chimed in and said, Dirty Harry. Think about Clint Eastwood's Dirty Harry. And I went, do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? And George went, that's got the right tonality, but this guy's on steroids. Duke Nukem is, and I went, oh, I'll just drop it an octave. And I went, do you feel lucky? Will do you, punk? And he went, that's it. And that's literally how fast I landed the role of Duke Nukem. Within 2 minutes, that conversation took place, and I was signed up. Is that Clayton? Is that you?
It's Clayton. Me.
You son of a bitch. You kept me waiting for 10 fucking minutes. That's the last time you get to be late on any of these podcasts.
All next right.
Time, I rip off your head and shit down your neck.
It always ends up being personal with me. I don't know how I managed to make this happen.
You had that effect on people, I guess.
Yeah.
Clayton. And I was paid to do that, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Sorry I'm late. I'm having some technical difficulties because I decided to choose Apple in the great PC war there.
Hey, so. Easy now. Easy. I'm an Apple user. I love Apple products.
Okay. Well, I...
Is this
help
Surface
me fix
Pro?
This fucking thing.
Is this your Surface Pro you're using now?
And This is my laptop. This is the brains of my entire operation, and it's
I see.
Not too
That's
brainy.
An interesting
today.
Room you're in. I like all of the games. All
oh, yeah. You know what this is? This is awesome. Let me show you this. I love this. This is a closet.
He's
this
Harry Potter.
Literally.
This is literally a closet. Like,
have you considered coming out of the closet, Clayton?
I have the door. The door actually doesn't have any hinges on it. It's I have to pull it closed every time. Well, I have to kick it open, right? It's like,
or you live in there, one of the two.
Yeah, I take all my meals in here, you know. Yeah, so I didn't have any room in my house when I bought it, but I needed a game room and I needed a room for all of my stuff. So I
are clearly in Canada or somewhere about Canada in your house.
I am my house in my house. And so I just put up these shelves and turned it into a game closet.
Very cool. Hey, you have your own GameStop now.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Little homes are all the thing, right? So tiny homes, I have tiny game room.
Tiny game store. Nice.
Standing room only.
So like you were talking about voice acting, not obviously in the 90s, like it's unheard of. When you recorded, like, were they basically just sound bites that they threw into the game to form, or did you actually have to record long sentence, like paragraphs, or like, I don't know.
The only paragraphs really might have been for cut scenes, which they could produce into one little chunk. Remember, back then, we're talking about everything being on a CD-ROM, and the reason for the audio being 8-bit was that there weren't MP3s yet. That technology didn't exist. Everything had to be WAV files, and WAV files being uncompressed can be very large. And so that's why they went 8-bit to try to keep them as small as possible. And most of the lines were very short, like... damn it, those alien bastards shut up my ride. That's about as long as a clip as you want, because you can fit that into a certain size and pack a whole bunch of them into a game. But you'll notice in like Duke Nukem 3D, the phrase, where is it, which is used more than anything else in that entire game. Because every time you touch a wall, I'm going, where is it? Where is it? They used one take. And since that's the most heard thing over and over again, it gets really old. Really fast. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Always the same exact read.
I mean, the controversy that surrounded this game. Well, you know what? Let's just say that parents back in the day had no idea what anything was going to turn into. Like, you're talking about Duke Nukem, you talk about Postal. Nowadays, games like this is part of the norm. And I remember when, like, Duke Nukem Forever was announced, like I went to, like, so we have EB, well, we don't anymore, it's now been purchased, it's now GameStop, but I went into EB, I pre-ordered it was freaking expensive for a game, but it was at the time $69. I was so excited. And then it finally came in. I loaded it up and it was like the rock version of the theme song. And I was like, oh, I can't wait for this. And then I started playing it and it was like, this is like, it's almost like it. I mean, obviously it was in development hell for so long. I get like, I don't really know the politics on what was going on, but like you have a 2000 game in the 2000 that the jokes were from the 90s. And like, I laughed at them, especially when they offer Duke the power armor. He's like, power armor is for pussies. And I was like, oh, here we go. But I mean, like, it was just the humor from the 90s. It's almost like they just kept it instead of trying to evolve it into humor of 2000. And unfortunately, like for me, it just missed. But I mean, I had a good time with the game, but it was just, it didn't have the same, like to me, but controversy.
Right. And here's what you have to keep in mind. That game was not made in the 2000s.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Game was made and sat on the shelves for years, 12 years before Pitchford and Gearbox got their hands on it and decided to release Duke Nukem Forever instead of making a new game.
Right.
Thinking that, you know, the love of gamers going back, you know, to the 90s again for games like that was going to be enough to really boost sales, when in fact it seems like more people wanted a modern day shooter out of Duke Nukem. And it's a shame that Duke never got that. He got a cameo in Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition, where he replaces Grayson, the Steve Bloom character. But Duke never got his own game. To this day, still waiting for Duke Nukem to have a freaking game again. They're too interested in making movies in Hollywood now than they are with serving their real audience, who are the gamers who want a Duke Nukem game. Dude, I get emails and DMs and messages every single day of my life from people going, when the hell are they going to make a Duke Nukem game? And it doesn't matter how much I pass that on to the powers that be. I'm sure they think I'm making it up. Or, of course, well, he'll get paid to do the voice. Of course he wants another game, so he's going to say the people tell. But literally, I'm telling you right now, cross my heart, every single day, people ask me, when are we going to make another Duke Nukem game? And all I can tell them is, you know, I don't make the game. I'm an actor. You know, I'm just waiting for the role to come around again. And I really want it to. And I have many ideas for Duke Nukem's future, but, you know, they're my ideas. They'll never happen.
You live the character for so long, you get in that headspace there and you're like, yeah, we could do this and that and this. Yeah.
Yeah. What I'd really like to see is if there is ever a movie, and there is a script already, I've seen it, and they've talked to John Cena about playing. But by the time they make a Duke Nukem movie, John Cena will be too old to play Duke. But what I'd like to see is a CG movie. Which is an R-rated CG movie for Duke Nukem, where anything can happen. It can be as violent as fucking Deadpool. It can have actual sex in it if it's R-rated, you know. And of course, I get to star as the voice of Duke. But anything can happen, and it can look exactly the way you want it to look. Why do you have to use real actors when CG is so good today?
You hit it right there with CG and everything, like Postal, with like the live action movie. Like, it was, I don't know, like it was it's a video game movie, but I mean, like, they could have done so much more with it if it was done as like a cartoon CGI or whatnot. But
why try to make them live action?
Bigger budget too. Like, you look at all the Resident Evil movies, like the Infinite Darkness just came out, the CGI, I really really enjoyed it, but I mean, like, when you have a live action movie, like, all these explosions, everything costs you X amount compared to as if you were doing a cartoon explosion. So,
yeah. Well, it's actually more expensive, rendering a cartoon explosion or setting off a pound of C4.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just want to really set off a pound of C4. So
yeah. You and me.
the Hollywood guys are like, yeah, no, but I really want to blow stuff up. So let's do this in real life.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're talking about ideas for a future of Duke. I had mentioned off the recording that I have a friend who actually did a portrait for you as a gift. But maybe we could see like a zombified. I can't even see it.
Oh yeah,
cool. Duke,
like, Duke. Yeah, Zombie Duke. But yeah, so my buddy Rob, he did that actually at 5 o'clock this morning. He had pulled an all nighter. He's trying to push his graphic novel it's done in 10 hours, but he's doing a prequel. But if we could get a shout out for Rob, that would be phenomenal for him.
We can. And we will.
Sweet.
We'll get them that studio quality.
Yeah, audience. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, so that's he sent me, he's like, I hope I didn't miss the recording. I feel so bad if it's late. I said, dude, it's not till 6 o'clock tonight. Go back to bed.
Yeah, I think if they go CG and they get something together, Netflix, I think, would be another perfect place. They've had good success with the Castlevanias there, Witcher stuff, things like that. But I think it would be absolutely one of those things. It'd be like Peter Cullen when they were bringing Transformers alive and everybody rallied and was like, if you're going to do Optimus, right, you 100%, mm-hmm. everyone would be saying, like, get John, like, do it. Like, you know, there would be C4 going off if they did.
Yeah. I'd be happy to watch that, thank you.
Well, you get attached though, right? Like, you get attached to certain voices as characters, like, mm-hmm. nobody else could do Duke Nukem. For me personally, nobody but Michael Ironside can do Sam Fisher. Nobody but, you know what I mean, like, there's a whole laundry list of people that you can think of that,
sure, there are sound alikes, but there are no perfect sound matches. It's like this guy, and don't get me wrong, I have a great deal of respect for him, Eric, I can't remember his last name, but he's the new voice of Bugs Bunny in like the Space Jam 2 movie. he does a good impression of Bugs Bunny, but it's not a voice match. It doesn't sound like Mel Blanc doing Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny. And as a child born in the 60s, okay, I'm much older than you guys. I grew up watching the Warner Brothers cartoons, and to hear Bugs Bunny's voice not actually sound like Mel Blanc doing Bugs Bunny bothers me. And I've been told by gamers that other people doing the Duke impression bothers them because it's not the right voice.
The right one,
and
yeah.
I kind of like that. There is a guy who's really close, though. Are you familiar with Lazy Game Reviews?
Game Reviews. Yeah, actually.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So Clint with Lazy Gamer, man, he's close. He sounds a lot like me doing Duke. That's the closest I've heard.
Clint's got it. He does have that deeper voice too when he's going.
But he picked up on some of the nuances. Like, I don't say the word when I say ass in my normal voice, it's ass. Duke doesn't. It's ass. I'll rip off your head and shit down your neck, and I'm gonna kick your asses. Asses. It's always the asses down, not ass, like I say. And I don't know why my Duke voice does it that way. But Clint does that. He gets it right. And there's just the little nuances, you know, but
seeing it between clenched teeth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Don't ever do that again, Clayton.
That's called conviction, man. That's passion.
Well, you know what,
for the craft.
Monty Manella, the first director on the Duke Nukem 3D game, made me keep my teeth clenched like this the whole time. And that lent itself well to shitty quality 8-bit audio. But you know, when Duke Nukem Forever came out and they told me it was happening, the game was being made, they said, nobody's going to direct you. We're going to send you your lines. You've been doing the voice forever. We see you at conventions doing it all the time. You just do it on your own. It was great. First time I was completely self-directed, and I did not clench my teeth. I let Duke talk more like this, a little more inflection, instead of everything being monotone. You know what I mean? And I think it gave him more personality, personally.
I can see that, yeah. You have a whole new, like, you have a whole new tool in your tool belt at your disposal. Yeah,
some inflection. He gets some inflection now instead of sounding so monotone on everything. And I really enjoy doing that.
Right. So have you played any of your games? Like, is there one particular scene that is like your favorite, or like your favorite line, or I don't know, like,
well, you know, I don't play video games a lot, but I definitely did play the Duke Nukem video games. And I can tell you the games that I like to play today the most are like Need for Speed and flight simulator games. So not shooting and killing and all that, but actually controlling the vehicle and trying to be as proficient and beat my time every time, you know, just get better at it. So in the Duke Nukem Forever game, remember the little RC truck? That was my favorite part because I like shrinking down and getting in it, but I also like the controls for it. That felt like, because I own RC10 racers. I've had them for, God, 25, 30 years now. I've been playing with those things. And that just, I don't know, it touched something in me deep inside that made me want to play the game even more when I got to that part. So I always found that fun.
I used to play with those too, actually. I got myself a Traxxas Wrestler a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah.
And and then I got a little bit overboard with it and I got obsessed with it and I sunk a couple of grand into it.
That's what I did.
And then I was racing cars on the road and I blew up the back end when it caught air because it shot about 30 feet into the sky.
No kidding.
I don't know what happened. I was in a parking lot and I was like, the parking lot was right next to an intersection of this mall, right? So cars would take off from the intersection with the street and I would race them to see if I could beat them to the end of the parking lot.
The same thing.
Yeah. Except that I don't know what happened. I hit something. The car got a little bit of wind underneath it and it just like it, cause it was moving and it just, and I smashed the whole rear shock tower and I fucked up the body and well, that's done with that.
You know what?
I sold it as a little pile of parts.
I used to love to race cars down my street here in Oceanside where I live. And, I would go under them sometimes, and I had a little GoPro camera on it too, so I could see the undersides of cars as I'd go under them. Well, I got run over, and that ended that. Car took a turn I wasn't expecting, and his back left wheel just crushed everything. Video stopped everything. That was the end of it. Broke the battery pack on the
holy
on the
man.
Yeah, yeah, it was crazy. Oh, the good old days.
Yeah.
In a simpler time, yeah. Much simpler time. Now it's, you got to stay inside quarantine. So like we got my kids, the Mario Kart live circuit. So they build their own circuits and
that's cool. Nice.
It's not anything like, I still remember talking about our seasons that my grandmother got me a Harley Davidson remote control motorcycle. And it was the coolest thing ever. Like you could do wheelies on it, stuff, you know, stuff that a Harley can do in a normal life, wheelies, everything.
Run without falling apart.
Like it is definitely a bygone era. Now it's all, everything's online and it's kind of depressing actually. Like you go from always being outside and you wanted to be outside. And now it's, you go outside if you have to,
you know. Yep. What? Actually, I am a 42 year old man. My girlfriend bought me a mountain bike for my birthday. And I gotta tell you, I am everywhere on that thing.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
I got a street bike too. I got an R6 and I could take that thing anywhere I want to go, but it's, where do you want to go? No. I'm like, let's go for a ride on the bike. Oh yeah. Okay. I'll get the helmet. No. The bicycles. Let's,
you know what? I'm looking forward to my semi-retirement coming up in the next 2 years. I'm going to be leaving Southern California and moving to New Mexico, just outside of Santa Fe. And at that time, now that they make them and the prices are coming down a little bit because they're really expensive, an all-electric quad runner. And that's going to be my toy, my best toy, once I get moved out to Santa Fe. So I can tear up the land that I live on and make no noise. I can be in stealth mode all the time.
I would be making noise with my mouth. I need the
noise.
I'll
have to do that just to scare off the wildlife. As I
yeah, know. Exactly. Yeah. Rattlesnakes, yeah, not for me.
Don't want to surprise a moose.
So are you back into the con scene, or now that everything's picked up? Yeah, our show that we do here, well, I don't live in Sudbury anymore, but we do it every year, and we had to cancel last one, and we're getting back into it. But I don't know, like there's all these talks about the government's going to pass the vaccine passports, and I just see so many problems with that. But we're doing it in October, but it's more like a Jay and Silent Bob reboot, where we're just going back to kind of basics things. We're not really doing anything fancy. This is this for us is more of like a survival year, so it's just to get back into the swing of things. And I'm looking forward to hopefully doing the, like, I mean, I'm not a celebrity like you. I'm not a celebrity at all, but just to go to other people's shows to see like our friends and stuff. And it's finally starting to get back to normal. So do you have a favorite con that you've attended? Like, and it doesn't even need to be a big one, but like a, not a mom and pop, but like, even if it's a small no name con, like, do you have any, like, anything that sticks out?
Oh yeah, there are many conventions that are, I would really love to go back to Australia again, especially to attend the AvCon in Adelaide, Australia. I made a lot of friends there a few years ago when I went, and it was just such a great experience. Australia is like America, only they have weird accents, they drive on the wrong side of the road, and everything is modern and new over there. Their public transportation is so nice, but I digress. Yes, I'm going back to conventions again. I've already been to a few. I just got back from Free Comic Book Day in Washington, D.C. this last weekend, which was not a convention, but still an appearance. And so far, everybody's masking up. Everybody I've been around has been vaccinated. And I'm proud to say, and I just booked another convention appearance last night, so I now have two in September and two in October coming up. But the convention that just is bringing me the second week of September, that's Dragon Con. No, first week of September. Dragon Con, one of the biggest ones in this country, down in Atlanta. And they just sent out an email to all of the guests and attendees last week saying, you have to show proof of vaccination. You have to be masked. They're going to put up plexiglass walls for us. I mean, they're really keeping our safety top of mind. And I really appreciate that. So yes, I'm getting back to them. In fact, the first 2 weeks of September, I'm in Atlanta and then Hartford, Connecticut for Kineticon, which is one of my favorites, by the way.
Which has the best name.
Kineticon,
that's
right?
Such a perfect portmanteau there.
It really does.
Kineticon.
I have so many great memories from that particular convention, and I'm happy to be going back to that. And then I just got another invitation for two more things coming up in October. One I can't mention, I haven't signed the contract yet, but it's a big convention and I'm very excited about it. And they have safety protocols in place. In fact, when I asked them if I could get guest passes for old friends of mine, 30 years ago, my radio career buddies who now want to see me, you know, what do I do at conventions? They want passes. And the first thing the con chair said was, are they vaccinated? Can they prove it? And I was thrilled to have that asked. And I'm like, I will check with them. If they can't prove they've been vaccinated, I'll tell them, I'm sorry, I can't get you passes, but that's cool. And then I have a big party I'm doing with DC Douglas. He's Albert Wesker in Resident Evil, right?
I've reached out to him. I have yet to hear back, but I'd love to have chat with him too.
Would you like to have him on your show? I think I might be able to help you there.
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
We're like this. We're buddies. We love to party together. So I was talking to him months ago after an appearance I'd done. And I said, hey, we should help our friend Matt out in Detroit or Chicago and do a Halloween thing for him, because he's so good at these things. And if we both agree to go to it for, you know, a minimum fee, we can party together for Halloween. And DC's like, you're fucking brilliant, man. So we'll both be there along with two other actors from the Resident Evil games. Halloween in Chicago is our thing. And it's called... I lent them the name of my cruise con. It used to be called Not Con. Now my con is called King Con Cruise. But they've taken the name. I've passed it on to them. And it's called Not Con, N-O-T-C-O-N, Not a Con, Not Con 2021. And you can look it up online. It's a .com. and see our Halloween party that's coming up.
Cool. There might be some copyright infringement, because Clayton's last name is Not. So he might have something to say about that. But it's with two T's.
The Not is for not seeking legal action.
Nice.
Oh, I choked on my water.
That stuff will kill you.
Yeah, that's kind of diluted with vodka right now too. Because then I know that if I cough, I'm fine.
Right, kills all those germs. My choice is tequila.
Oh God.
I love it. It's what I drink. Never a hangover in this man's life. Never. I get drunk as a skunk and I'm never hungover. Go ahead and hate me.
So since your drink is tequila, is that Duke's drink, or what's his drink of choice?
I'm gonna say yes. Duke Nukem's a tequila drinker.
Holy fuck.
And why does Duke prefer tequila? Because it makes girls panties drop faster. It's true. Girls who drink tequila, their clothes fall right off. Duplex. Duke and I have that.
Oh my God. That's
I don't know. I don't know. I can say that I've never been hungover, but I distinctly and hazily actually remember drinking something out of a bottle that had both a cobra and a scorpion in it that came from somewhere in Laos
that tasted
like burning tire rubber.
Tastes like ass.
It tastes like ass.
That's better.
Yeah, it was like gross. Ass. And that wasn't where we started, right? Like, that was where we ended. And I'm telling you, the next day, I don't know if you and I think that a hangover is the same thing, but I'm pretty sure what I had was a hangover.
Oh, well, I'm not saying I've never had a hangover. I had them when I was younger. It was after I was diagnosed with diabetes that and I said to my doctor, oh, now my diet changes. Now I can't drink anymore. He said, not necessarily. If you've been drinking vodka and rum and that kind of stuff, stop that. You can have tequila. And I said, why? He said, because it's made of the agave plant and the sugars in the agave plant are different and you can probably metabolize them. Most people who have diabetes who switch to tequila do just fine. And he said, you probably won't have any hangovers if you don't mix it with anything. And so, and this goes back about 10 years ago when I was diagnosed with diabetes, I switched to just Patron Silver. It's my favorite because when it's chilled, it goes down. I don't drink alcohol for the taste. Never have. It's for the effect. I like
that. Yeah, product. Well, so, if I wanted to drink for Patron taste, I drink coffee. Chilled.
Yeah, it goes down so smooth, and my limit is 10 shots in an hour. I used to do like 14, and my fiance said, stop that shit, because she doesn't like me getting drunk. So I can do 10 in an hour and be happy and get really drunk and never be hungover. As long as it's not mixed with any other sugars, I'm good to go. You should try it sometime.
I will. I definitely will.
Just remember, don't mix it with anything else.
Yeah, till I get to that. So somebody's gonna line me up with a whole bunch of shots. I'm gonna get to the 10th one. What was that? Sourpuss. Oh my God, clear the room.
I don't suggest you go over maybe 4 or 5 shots in an hour.
Yeah, maybe I should. I'll probably just, you know, a couple of beers and keep it light.
but try, do the tequila test someday.
Oh,
when you want to get drunk and not be hungover?
And when my girlfriend asks me, why are you doing this to yourself? I'll say, Duke Nukem told me to.
Duke Nukem told me I could get drunk as fuck, bang you, and not have a hangover in the morning. And wow. She should say, okay.
It's a win for everybody. Really.
You'll be greedy and you'll go, come on, honey. Come on. Have some tequila with me.
The science is there.
Jesus.
And it's endorsed by a doctor too, right? Like I can kind of slide that in there. And
honest to God, my doctor did tell me. He said, not necessarily, you can have tequila. Try tequila.
Sounds like a good slogan.
It's Patron such a
Silver.
Great
try.
It's
tequila.
Such a great drunk too, man. Tequila's a great drunk. It really is. It only takes a few shots to get there, and then you're like, woohoo!
Yeah. you know what's not a good drunk. And when I was living in New Zealand, we actually bought a bottle of it, the Green Fairy, a real absinthe, not this 56%.
Oh, not the stuff you can get here that isn't really absinthe.
No, the
stuff with it's got the wormwood. It has the wormwood in it. Yeah.
And you have to have sugar cubes with it. Yes.
Yeah. Dilute. Yep. Yeah.
When there was a liquor store where I lived in, it was really, really convenient, I guess. We were right around the corner from a liquor store, and we went in, got absinthe, and I do not remember the next 3 days.
Not surprised.
Well, I still have both ears though, so we're good there.
They didn't go there. Okay, you have your limits clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
<We'll> see. Yeah, just one for me, one and done. Thanks. Yeah, I gotta keep my ears.
You sounded so white there, Clayton.
Yeah, it sounded like you drinking your wormwood absinthe. I'm just gonna have one.
Oh no, okay. Just one for me. Thank you. Just one for me. Let's save some for everybody else, okay? Just one for me. You Canadians, you're so goddamn polite, you know.
I don't know why, John, but you really sounded like Eugene Levy there.
Eugene Levy. He's one of the funniest men ever, I swear he is. He really is.
Yes,
Adam, you got Adam. You got to say something, man. You're just laughing. You got come on.
I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it.
This is like the best thing ever.
We all grew up playing, and everybody kind of went through, especially in my generation, going through the Wolfenstein, then the Doom games, and then all of a sudden Duke Nukem came out, and everybody.
And then the game starts talking.
That's exactly. That's why this jump is just what made it so much, because you just had Doom guy, you had grunts, and you had that like, what's up, and you know they're chasing you and stuff,
right,
and then
right.
All of a sudden you start the game and you click the space bar and it just goes, come get some, and then you're just off and running and you're going, what's happening, and like you said, the damn, there goes my ship, and then you're just like, what the, and you start chasing it off, and it's incredible. And then just when we started learning all the cheat codes, and you're throwing the money around, and just like everything about the game. Like I put it on this morning on my Nintendo Switch. And in fact, it's one of those things, like I have some friends that have Nintendo Switches, and I reached out and I was, guys, like the Nintendo Switch has Duke Nukem on it. And they're like, oh yeah. I'm like, no, like the Duke Nukem 3D, like what we used to play. And right away they're just like, thank you. Bang. They're like, we're going to get some multiplayer nights set up. Like, and we used to do that, like tie up the phone lines at our parents' houses and play the game to the late hours of the night.
Yeah.
Like so much wonderfulness about this. I absolutely, like, John, when are we getting Duke Nukem back? Because I think, like you said,
there you go. He asked you today.
Yeah, you got to ask. That's your question.
No lies. And I'll message you tomorrow about it, because it's one of those things exactly. Like, to me, it makes me think of, the current Stallone ones with Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis.
Oh, Expendables.
Mm-hmm.
There is definitely a place, a market. There's like, we're all here. We're waiting for a game. It can be brought forward, modernized, like you said, using more classic controls, things like that. But I remember like the first time when you get like the jetpack, like literally like you were saying before, like I'm going to rip off it. And then you actually do it. With the newspaper, and you're whistling while you're whistling the theme song as you go.
yeah.
Like, no, there's definitely 100%. Like, do you? I know you have your ideas, etc. We'll keep them. We'll allow you to preserve them. But do you think it would be better to just try and modernize it in that sense, like almost like a redo, or? Would there be even a place for like a like Old Man Duke or something like that? Like they did with Old Man Logan.
I think it depends on how you're talking about updating it. There are several ways. First of all, game engine, graphics, that kind of update, or updating it to where Duke Nukem isn't a completely non-PC 90s misogynistic man. There is a way, and that's why I want the CG movie made. If you're not aware of it, I have a lady friend in Italy who goes by the name online of Ardat Lily 2. Her name is Laura. She's an incredible artist. She's done a number of things for Running with Scissors, and she currently has a Duke Nukem web series online that I can send you a link to. She reached out to me about 2 years ago when she started doing this and said, I'd like you involved. I'd like you to help me with something. If Duke Nukem had a son, what would his name be? And within a second, I said, Deuce, as in the second, Deuce Nukem, Duke and Deuce. And then as I thought about it, and she told me she was going to include Deuce, who's a 21, 22-year-old buff motherfucker like his dad, she started writing him into this cartoon series online. I started thinking, oh my God, this is how we bring Duke into modern day. Duke gets a sidekick who tries to keep him politically correct. And it's comedic because his son Duke is saying to him, Dad, you can't say that. You can't treat women like that. You have to say it this way. And it's funny because you're taking some guy who's a fucking dinosaur, outdated as far as political correctness goes, and bringing him into 2021 or two or three or whenever this could happen with his son, being not only his sidekick and kicking alien ass, but in helping him to be politically correct. No, you're not saving babes from aliens, Dad. These are women. You know, stop objectifying them. And you have comedy gold right there. See why it has to be a
as long as you're not finding those women in the strip club there, because that's kind of that's a bit of a harder sell.
That has to continue. That continues on. But those women in the strip club, he treats them with respect.
These are women, $1 Dad. Bills. I need a $1
bill. Yeah. He's making sure they're making enough money to pay their health insurance. Okay,
yeah, there you go.
So it's politically correct Duke Nukem in the future. It could happen, I'm just saying.
That would be and then you could do something similar to what's that movie with Andy Samberg and Adam Sandler, where like Andy Samberg is like this politically correct character, and then Adam Sandler just warps him.
His dad. That's my dad.
But like,
so I'm not sure I've seen that, but it has the right sound.
That's my boy.
Yeah. That's my boy.
That's my boy.
Yeah. And like,
you're my
and
boy,
then
blue.
You end up corrupting him to the point where it's like it doesn't matter anymore.
See, it could go either way. Yeah. Either the sidekick could straighten Duke out to be politically correct, or he could corrupt his son and they both become total asshole. Either way, it's funny.
Yeah, it would work for me.
I'd pay to see that.
I would too. I'd love to see that. I'd love to be paid to do it more, however.
I would watch it 100%.
Even and not maybe not even necessarily like a movie, like a TV, a series, like like a half an hour sitcom or something, Family Guy style with Duke Nukem.
Oh my god! Can you imagine a sitcom where like Duke walks on and then there's like applause and cheering? You know, the first words out of his mouth, or who the fuck's at the door? You know.
Or the crowd is cheering real loud. Duke, shut up.
He sits down. Yeah, he sits down at the couch. Shut up.
Yeah, I would love to see it in a Netflix series or something. Wouldn't be my first time on Netflix, but I would love to see that happen. That would be cool.
Yeah, the movie that you just narrated, Sky Sharks? Is that what it's called? It's a movie about Nazis and sharks and stuff. I thought it was called Sky
Sharks.
I don't know
what that is. I do not know what
that is. It said that you were the narrator of this movie in 2020.
Oh, people say I do shit all the time that I never did.
Yeah,
people
well, I also...
Conventions I've never been to.
I also thought that you... It said that you... See, the internet movie or the database doesn't know everything because it said that you voiced Duke Nukem in a game that you didn't voice him in, so...
There you go. That happens.
Okay, now, never mind. I'm not going to say anything about this Nazi movie with sharks in space.
No, that's more DC Douglas's style, actually.
Exactly.
Well, you know, he was Bud, the sewer maintenance worker in Sharknado 2, you know. DC does a lot of on-camera stuff, a lot of B-movie stuff. He was just in Connecticut for 3 weeks filming something that looked ridiculous. I love that guy. We got to get DC on your show. You'll enjoy him.
I've seen some of his stuff when on Instagram, and it was this thing where he was eating hair like it was spaghetti, and I'm like, that's not gross. That's not creepy at all.
And, he does a lot of weird shit coming out of DC these days.
That is fucking weird.
Has just something to do with growing his hair long. It's made him weirder than ever.
Okay, I just imagined a plate of hair with spaghetti sauce on it and him spinning it up.
No, so what he does is like there's a camera and it looks like he's going to go murder somebody and he cuts their hair and he goes...
Still no. Still hard no.
Yeah,
from me.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
John, what did you think about the Sonic stuff? My kids are big fans of Sonic characters. Tell us about the experiences there with Sega.
Of being Big the Cat? Oh boy, what a thrill. Since I have this platform, let me explain that I never hated the Big the Cat character. Fans of mine, for some reason, think I hate Big the Cat. I do not. He's a delightful character. I hate the voice I did for Big the Cat because of the way it happened the day that I was thrust into the role of Big the Cat. And I just did the stupidest voice right off the top of my head I could do. And the director who was on the phone from Tokyo, who heard that, went, "Yes, that one, yeah." And, oh God, no!
But my Froggy, that voice for Big the Cat got stuck. And have you seen my Froggy? It's been this voice forever
until Kyle Apare got the part. Because, as you know, if you know anything about the Sonic franchise, every frickin' project they do, they have to recast the voices every fucking time. But anyway. So Kyle Hebert kind of did an imitation of my Big the Cat.
Oh. Kind of this kind of dumb sounding little Thor kind of cat.
And then Sega killed Big the Cat off completely.
Oh, thank fucking God. The Jar Jar Binks of the Sonic saga. I got a full disclosure. I hate Big the Cat. So
I have no issue with that. But for the fans, I want the fans to know Kyle Hebert killed Big the Cat, not John St. John. Sorry, Kyle. That's a joke. You did a bad, stupid voice just like I did, Kyle. It's not your fault. It's Sega. They do that shit.
They do that shit. And they
you said doo doo.
I did. They have a hard time actually turning out a quality Sonic game. They're all quality, they're just of differing qualities.
Yeah. Nothing that goes over the top great, right?
No, that takes Christian Whitehead making Sonic Mania there, the remake that they did of the 2D ones with all the expanded levels and everything. That was pretty solid, but none of the new stuff translates. It's like you said, like it works better in CG than a live movie. Sonic works better in 2D than 3D. It's apples to apples.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Idris Elba announced himself as Knuckles. Are we going to see you as Big the Cat in the next movie?
No, I'm convinced Sega completely killed off Big the Cat and they don't want him ever in any of their movies. I just don't think that's a role that a character that they ever valued. I don't think they ever valued Big the Cat.
He's not going to come back as a Jedi in like the third game or something.
What I was told by Sega, via Sega, that no, Big the Cat is over. That was a part of their history that they're not going to repeat, I guess.
Kind of like Nintendo with Mario Brothers, the movie.
Yeah. Mm,
right. Get me wrong. If there's ever an opportunity to play Big the Cat again, I would jump at it in a heartbeat. I'd be happy to do it. But that goes with any role that's offered to me. I'm happy to. If you're going to pay me to speak, fucking I am taking your money.
Yeah. I think most people pay me not to speak. So you're really on to something there. Use my voice to get money. Oh, okay. Usually mine ends up costing me money. I open it at the wrong time and well.
There you go.
Do you have a preferred franchise to anything you want to get into? Like your friend there, or do you want to jump into Resident Evil or any other franchises? Anything specific you'd want to try and...
Oh, to be a part of other games? Not especially, I'll be honest with you, as a voice actor, not a gamer. I'm not familiar enough with other games to know if there's another franchise I want to be in. I mean, I keep recording roles all the time for games that I've been in the past. Guild Wars 2, I just recorded for them. Dota 2, I just recorded DLC for them recently for their Halloween stuff coming out. I play a ridiculous little role. I'm sure there's an NDA attached, so I'll just say I'm a high-ranking military officer piece of candy. I think I can say that with no issues. I don't really think so. I would rather get into more theatrical style voice acting, as in motion pictures, CG films, animated films. And I did finally just finish the initial recordings for the first full-length animated motion picture I've ever been cast in. And I'm pretty stoked by it because I get the last line in the movie and it'll be released on Netflix. And we will do the final ADR voice recording. In other words, what we did was all of the characters' lines were recorded kind of like this via Zoom in meetings, right? And they took the audio off the internet and put all the placeholders for the animators. So it's being hand-drawn right now to what we've actually recorded. Yeah. And probably about a year from now, will be called back, hopefully all of us together in one studio, which would be awesome, to re-record all of those roles in high quality audio to be used in the actual soundtrack of the film. And then it'll be released on Netflix sometime in a year and a half from now is my guess.
That's where they play it on the screen, and then you have to like match the cadence and pacing and everything of you.
Exactly. For each line, there's always a you're looking at the video, but there's always a countdown beep, a three beep. It goes beep, 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 boom. That's where your line starts exactly on the video. No. And but really, it's we don't even need that so much because the lines we took were the ones they've selected. All I have to do is imitate exactly what I did in the reference file. They'll play back in my ear. Say it exactly the way I did the first time when we recorded it a month ago, a year from now, and then they'll just make it work. They'll fit it in. Kind of a neat process. It's the opposite of video games. You know, with hand-drawn animation, the voice recordings have to be done first so they can draw the mouth to go to it. In video games, they make the whole damn game first, and then they work on the lip flap for the voice recording in like the last 90 days or 120 days of development, and then they put the game out.
Or in the case of Sonic Adventure, everybody's mouth just kind of opens in a big circle and closes.
They have some really sophisticated software for this stuff these days that use what they call the visemes and the phonemes. Are you familiar with those phrases? A viseme is a video presentation of like, see exactly how my mouth moves when I say specific words. It's software that looks at that. And phonemes are the actual sounds I'm making. So an F and an S could look familiar, but these two things are combined into a software that can animate the mouth by itself to go exactly to the words you're saying. Instead of doing the motion capture, you know, mocap with the dots on our lips where they film it, it actually just uses a video feed of my face about like this close is how they do it. And the actual recording, they put it into the software. It makes the mouth move for the character.
I have wasted my life working on other things.
aren't as fun as this, you mean?
I should have got into this.
It's a fun industry, that's for sure. Yeah, but you guys know that video games and acting, stuff like that, is a very small percentage of my job. I could not possibly pay the bills with those gigs. I'm not an A-lister. Pardon me. Harsh bong, dude. I'm not an A-lister voice actor like a Nolan North or Troy Baker, who are working constantly in video games. Oh, I should have done that. Hold on. Oh, that last vape hit just... It's in the wrong place. to make a living doing voice acting, most of us have to do commercials. Yeah. So that's what I do most of the time, day in and day out. This morning I woke up and I did three TV commercials for a mattress company back east that air next week. And that's my job for the most part, day in and day out, is doing commercials and auditions. You know, the job is really auditioning to get the jobs.
Yeah.
So video games and animated features like that are something that I get, you know, one a year, two a year, maybe. That's it.
I'll be honest, though, you know, like with the rise of recognizable voice actors, mm-hmm. where there's so much stuff that we watch is animated and it's mainstream, that having voices that you don't hear all the time, like there was a little while there where every time I went to go play a game or watch a movie or whatever, it was always Nolan North. And it's like, I like his voice. He's awesome.
But you hear it over and over and over.
You hear it over and over. And I'm like, I don't know. It's nice to hear a voice that you're not, you know, a new voice or a good voice that you don't hear all the time.
Yeah.
Like I find that, who else, John DiMaggio.
Yeah, but DiMaggio has such great range that his character is so different.
That's what I'm thinking of, like him.
Here's the best example, Chris Parnell. Do you know
who
he is?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, from
Parnell
Archer.
Is on Bob's Burgers, and he's on Archer, and he's on fucking everything.
I know, and I hear his
one
voice.
Trick pony. He does one voice.
Yeah, but that's the same as H. John Benjamin. Hey, you ever hear Archer and that show Archer? Like that? Yeah,
exactly, and that was a very good impression you just did right there, by the way. Bob and Archer... And Jimmy Jr. Yeah, they're all the same voice.
Okay, same
so he
voice.
he spits a lot when he's doing Jimmy Jr. But it's the same. It's obvious, right? One trick pony. But that one trick H. John Benjamin does is the Archer snark is what I call it.
Yeah,
it's snarky, fucking tone that he has with everybody.
Yeah. And
John Benjamin nails that. And yeah. I can't imagine anybody else doing that, right?
I remember he in Wet Hot American Summer, like 10 years later, whatever, on Netflix, he played a fucking soup can.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
he just played The Void on John Oliver's Last Week Tonight show. He did, you know, John Oliver, have you ever seen it on HBO?
Okay. Yeah.
So for this pandemic, he's been in front of a blank white space.
Yeah.
Well, 3 weeks ago, they started animating a cartoon face on it, and it's John Benjamin is the voice of The Void. His last appearance was last night on the latest show, because they're going back to a set when they return in a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Finally.
Well, what I was going to say about like DiMaggio, you said, right. Like he's got range. He changes his voice. He tries to do different things with it. So you don't always know.
But it's still him, and you know it every time.
Yeah. But have you ever watched The Venture Brothers?
I have not.
Oh my God. There's like Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick do a massive roster of characters. Like even in South Park, Matt and Trey, they do a lot of the characters, and a lot of them kind of sound the same. It is scary how many different voices these two guys do for that show. It was on the air for like 15 years. They only made 7 seasons. Incredible show. Well, but if you watch it,
that's good and bad. Look at Futurama. It's all Billy West.
Yeah.
Billy does almost all the characters on that show. And that's great. And those characters very diverse, and you wouldn't even know it was him. But how many more actors could have been hired and paid to be on that show?
Yeah.
If Billy hadn't done all of them.
Yeah.
You know, okay, granted, Phil Lamar gets in there. But still, like Venture Brothers, there you go. These two guys are doing all the voices on the show when they could have hired even more actors to be a part of it.
They didn't have a whole lot of money. It took them 15 years to make 7 seasons, because I'm pretty sure that it was just like passion for them keeping it going.
Sure.
You'd see a season like every year, every 2 years or so. But if you check it out, like they did, it's for talent, strictly for talent, not ethically, like wanting to hire more actors. It is crazy all the different voices that they could do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to get the diversity, is basically what I was saying, because I'm like, oh God, okay, it's Nolan North in Nolan North, the movie starring Nolan North. You know what I mean? It's always nothing against you, Nolan North. If you ever watch this podcast,
he's a really good actor, but has limited vocal range.
Yeah.
And characterizations that he does still sound like him doing.
They sound like Nolan North. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I get that.
If it works, yeah.
Well, he plays a great soldier character, so there you go.
Yeah.
Him and Troy Baker, they do those soldiers that sound like they're 22 years old, and that's...
Yeah.
In a lot of those games, that's what they want. You know, when they want somebody old and crotchety, that's when they called me, you know. Because I'm an old fart. Or somebody who sounds really stupid, I play those roles well.
Well, yeah, Big the Cat. You did that to yourself, though, from what I hear.
Not my fault, really. Not my fault. I didn't get to audition for that game.
You look at that character, though, and was he going to sound any different ever? Like, really?
I can't imagine. I don't know.
He's the slowest moving thing. With these eyes that just kind of look slightly out at two different angles.
He's the opposite of Sonic, is what
exactly. Literally, yeah, exactly. Like the polar opposite, diametrically opposed to Sonic. What he's even doing in the game is a mystery.
Right.
You were saying though, John, you didn't audition for Big the Cat though?
No. Lonnie Minella, the same person who cast me for Duke Nukem, did the casting for Sonic Adventures and Sonic Heroes. And she called me this one Wednesday afternoon back in 19 and she said, hey, can you be in Kearney Mesa for a recording session on Saturday? I said, sure. What are we doing? She goes, it's a game called Sonic the Hedgehog. And I went, oh, I know that game. I played it. She goes, okay, this is a new one called Sonic Adventures. And just come on down Saturday at Bill Corkery Studio. We'll see you at 2. And I went, you got to send me the sides? Which means, you know, the script of the audition. She said, no, don't worry about it. We got it covered. Bye-bye, click. So I show up at the recording studio, and I walk in, and Ryan Drummond is in the booth recording Sonic lines. And Jenny Doulard, who's Amy Rose, because I worked with her at a TV station and got her the gig because she sounds like a cartoon, her natural voice. So she'd get the part, and she's sitting in the hallway on a bench reading the script. And there's a few other voice actors that I don't recognize, and they're reading over some scripts. And I walk in, and when I go by the glass, Lonnie sees me from the director's from the mixing studio, right? The control room. And she comes running out and she goes, "Oh, John, I'm so glad you're here. Here, come into the conference room with me." She shows me a picture of Big the Cat. And I went, "What the hell is that?" She said, "That's Big the Cat." And I went, "Yes, that is, isn't it?" And said, "So that's what you're going to be doing today." I said, "Okay, what does it sound like?" "Well, we'll work that out when we get in the booth. You're going to be up next right after Ryan." So, you know, I wait about 15, 20 minutes and his session ends. And they call me in and I put on the headphones. And she introduces me to, I can't remember the young lady's name, the director who was on the line from Tokyo, but or interpreter, I think, is who she was actually, not the director, but the director's interpreter from Sega, because that person didn't speak English, right? So we're on the phone, and Lonnie goes, just to read the first line or two, dude, just sound stupid and slow. I went, stupid and slow? Like, I can't find my Froggy anywhere. And I hear this in my headphone, and it's the interpreter talk being spoken at by the director. And then the interpreter says, "Yes, that one, that voice, that is Big the Cat voice." I went, no, I can do other stuff. Hold on. And they go, "No, that's the one." And I felt so stupid for having
just done the stupidest thing like this that I could do.
And they went, "That's going to be the voice." So my bad, it's my fault. I don't hate the character, even though he's the opposite of Sonic and he's slow. I hate the voice that I did. I wish I had started something better, more textured. I don't know.
When people ask me about what my most interesting minutiae of Sonic knowledge is, because I'm a huge Sonic fan, that's gonna be it. John St. John didn't actually mean to make Big the Cat sound like that, you know. I know.
For it. Yeah, he didn't audition for it. He got thrown into it. It's kind of like, you know, the way I feel about it. But hey, it turned out to be pretty cool. I sell autograph cards with Big the Cat on them at conventions for $25. Woohoo! Come see me in Atlanta at Dragon Con, September 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, that whole week. I'll be there signing autographs and meeting people behind the plexiglass with my mask on. I hope you'll come out.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Well, I know
who wants to go to Atlanta?
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you've got your karaoke thing to head off to. So
I don't want to keep the host waiting too long.
Well, no, I appreciate you coming on. And that's why we had to start when we did, because somebody was late to the party. Clayton.
You asshole.
Oh, me? Oh, you're talking about me? Oh, okay.
Who came in at 12 minutes after the hour? Fuck face.
Well, that's how I'm going to be known now. I'm the guy who makes John St. John wait.
There you go.
Duke Nukem waited for me. What do y'all got?
I told you it was a power trip thing. Didn't I, Brad?
That right before.
Sorry, but, man. Yeah, we'll never do it again.
We'll let you get off to your karaoke thing. I really appreciate you coming on and just shooting the shit with us about everything. Like it's been an honor to have a 90s icon on the show. So it's thanks again.
Amazing. Well, you guys are awesome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Perfect. Well, you have a great day, sir.
You too.
Thanks.
Take care. Guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks, John.
Later. Ah, that was cool.
That was pretty sweet, man.
That was cool.
Something else. Holy moly.
That was fucking fun.
Yeah.
I can't stop smiling. Like it's just I keep forgetting that I'm recording, but it's good because
these are good guests. These are good fucking guests.
Yeah, everybody's been such a pleasure. Everybody's always come in here and, you know, treated us with like a nice respect, like we are.
Like, well, yeah, we're like 3 for 3 now, like Bateson, Katie, and now John St. John. Like, yeah, those were all three of those were awesome. Yeah. They're just awesome people to talk to.
We got you. I know Adam's gonna duck out, I think, anyways, but you and me have another one in 40 minutes.
What happened to what's his name from ITG? Drew.
Well, he's coming too, but didn't you say you were gonna come on?
I was gonna sit in the sidelines and watch.
You can't. Oh, okay. Well, it's not live. You can just sit and do nothing.
Just occupy a spot. No, I think I'm gonna duck. I'll let you guys. Okay. I'll let you guys keep it tight with him, and because I haven't played the game, and I was.
Neither have I.
I see. Okay. Well, spare me. Spare me then, because there's a possibility that you guys are gonna get into some spoilers.
And yeah. True. Spoiled. True. Okay. Well, you know, we'll end this one here. And the nice thing is I'm going to have to edit all this out anyways, but the nice thing is I'm not airing this one for 2 weeks. So if he's going to get me those sound clips, and now I got my hopes up that we're going to see DC on the show. Like, that would be fucking awesome. Yeah. Like having Albert Wesker on the show, like.
So right before I think he came on, Clayton, he basically agreed to do the Rob sound clip, as well as he said he'd read pretty much anything.
Yeah, except for Clayton. We should have had that on video.
What's that?
He said he would do recordings for everyone except you, because you were late.
Oh. But he said he said what?
So if you have something that you want him to say, type it up, send it to me, and he will record it if you want to use that thing for your Instagram channel.
Oh, yeah, Adam, totally.
Adam can use something for his channel, and then I'll use something for mine. And Rob, I don't want to overburden him. I mean, unless he sees this after and he's like,
No. I want him to say, no, Clayton, I told you I'm not fucking recording anything for you.
So, all right, well, we will end this here, because I got to get ready for the next one. But thanks so much for coming on, guys. Like, it's been a lot of fun, and it just brings back memories of playing this.
Well, it makes me want to go back and play 3D now, because that's the only one that I really, really played. I steered clear of Duke Nukem Forever because I heard it was just a fucking disaster.
I said 3D's on the Switch. I already have it. I played it this morning. I was having a blast. I'm definitely going back in.
I'm sure I could probably get it on Xbox Live or Game Pass then for sure. Yeah. But, that's Barry Burton. Okay, so who was Wesker in the first? The guy you're talking about, that's the Wesker in the first.
The villain. No, he's the villain for the whole series.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then he dies in number 5, but I don't think any Resident Evil character stays dead, to be honest with you. So
no. Well, there was no sign of him in 7, I'll tell you that.
No, I think he'll bide his time, and if we can get him on, we'll grill him. No, he won't be able to say.
Wasn't 6 like his son or something like
that? Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Albert Weskerson. Yeah.
Not Wesker. Oh, yeah. Okay, I see. But, all right. Well, we'll end it there. And I look forward to the next one, guys.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks for watching.
Okay. Oh, wait. When are you going to the other one? When are you going to the other?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Okay. So anyways, I was talking with Jason Rainville. He's a freelance artist. He's done work for Magic the Gathering. He's done work for a bunch of video games, board games, stuff like that. I think I mentioned it to you guys in the group chat. And he's got some stuff going on right now. But if you guys ever want to do something not video game related,
sure,
we can definitely plug him for an interview. If you want to talk about anything inside of like the animation or fantasy illustrated